Welcome, Curious Minds, to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into something really, really important if you're building software that needs to, well, actually last and grow. We're talking about how to build web applications that don't just work now, but can seriously scale up when users flood in or deadlines get tight. It's pretty much essential for startups, for big tech firms, really anyone.
Exactly right. In today's digital world, scalability isn't some optional extra. It's just fundamental.
Yeah.
Without planning for it, even the best idea can kind of buckle when it meets real world traffic.
So how do we actually do that? How do we build for growth? What are the tools or frameworks maybe that help us write code that scales, whether we're using Django or Flask or maybe FastAPI?
Yeah, that's really where Python design patterns enter the picture. And what's cool here is that these aren't just, dry theories from a textbook. They're solutions that have been tested in the real world over years for common coding problems. And Python, being so readable, works beautifully with them. They help you write code that's cleaner, stronger, and just easier to manage long term.
Okay, so our mission today for this deep dive is basically to unpack these key Python design patterns. We want to look at how they help organize code, keep different parts separate, separation of concerns, right? Mm-hmm. And make reusing code easier. All aiming for that smooth scaling, making sure your app doesn't, fall apart when things get busy.
Exactly. We'll start by looking at why apps often struggle without them, the common problems. And then we'll get into specific patterns with some solid Python examples to make it really clear.
Right. Let's set the scene then. The pain point. We've probably all seen this, maybe lived through it. Think about, say, an edtech startup. They launch quick with a small Flask app. Works fine at first.
Oh, yeah. Starts out great. Simple. Fast.
But then the features start piling up. You add payments, maybe some user stats, file uploads, and more developers join the team.
And that's often when the trouble starts. That nice, clean code. It can quickly turn into, a mess. Hard to follow. Bugs start popping up everywhere. And bringing new developers up to speed, that becomes a real headache.
Ugh. The dreaded spaghetti code. We've all been served that dish at some point, haven't we?
Definitely.
So the lesson here seems pretty clear. Even if you pick a great framework like Flask or Django, if the underlying structure is weak, you're going to run into trouble. It just highlights why these design patterns are so vital for building Python apps that can actually scale.
Absolutely underscores it.
Okay, we feel the pain. Now let's talk solutions. What are some specific patterns that directly tackle these kinds of scaling in structure problems?
Right. Let's get into the core solutions. First up, probably the foundation for most web apps, the MVC pattern, Model View Controller.
The MVC. Okay.
Now, in the Django world, you'll often hear it called MTV Model Template View. But honestly, the core idea is identical. It's all about separation of concerns.
Keeping things in their own lanes.
Exactly. The beauty of MVC or MTV is that different people or teams can work on different parts, the data part, the logic part, the presentation part, without tripping over each other. That's huge for development speed. So the model, that's your data. Think database interactions. The view, or sometimes called the controller, handles the user requests, the business logic, and the template. That's what actually renders the page the user sees.
Makes sense.
Think about a food delivery app. Using MVC means the menu data, the model, the user interface showing the menu, the template, and the logic for placing an order, the view controller, are kept separate. This made it way easier for them to, say, add online payments later on without having to gut the whole system and start over.
That separation sounds key, especially for teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, beyond that fundamental MVC structure, what's another big challenge apps face when they grow? What pattern helps there?
Well, another common need is managing shared resources efficiently. For that, the singleton pattern is really useful.
Singleton, one instance, right.
That's the core idea. You ensure only one instance of a specific object gets created, and then everyone uses that same instance. Think of database connections, maybe a logging service, or a connection to a cache like Redis.
Okay, so you're not constantly creating new connections or loggers.
Exactly. It saves resources, sure, but it also gives you a single consistent point of control for things that need to be, singular, like managing a connection pool properly. We saw this used effectively in a multi-tenant SaaS platform. Each tenant needed its own connection to a central Redis cache, but they used singletons, loaded lazily, to manage those connections, avoided wasting resources, kept things consistent.
I could definitely see the efficiency gain there. Is there ever a downside? Like managing global state, or maybe testing gets trickier with singletons.
That's a fair point. Like any pattern, you have to apply it thoughtfully. Overuse can lead to tight coupling or make testing harder. Yeah, it's a trade-off.
Okay, so moving on from shared resources, what about just creating objects cleanly, especially if you have lots of different types of objects.
Right. For that scenario, particularly when you have like different variations of an object or you need to decide which class to instantiate at runtime, the factory pattern is excellent.
Factory pattern. So it manufactures objects for you.
Pretty much. It abstracts away the how of creating objects. Instead of having ifelse blocks all over your code deciding if condition A, create object X, if condition B, create object Y, you delegate that logic to a factory. This makes your code much cleaner and easier to extend. You can add new types of objects without messing with the code that uses them.
Got an example?
Sure. Think about an e-commerce site dealing with multiple countries. They used a factory pattern to choose the right payment gateway, like maybe Stripe for the US, Razorpay for India based on the currency or region. Adding support for a new country and its payment gateway just meant adding a new class and updating the factory, not changing code all over the place, made expanding way easier.
That's a really neat way to handle variation. Now, thinking about Flask specifically, it's known for being more lightweight, using decorators a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a pattern that fits well there, maybe for adding common logic to web routes?
Absolutely. You hit it right there, the decorator pattern. In Python, and especially Flask, decorators are just a natural fit for adding middleware-like functionality.
Like authentication or logging?
Exactly. Things you want to apply to multiple routes without repeating the code inside each route handler. Authorization checks, logging request details, validating input. Decorators wrap that functionality around your main route logic. We saw a fintech company use this heavily. They had decorators to make sure only authenticated users with the right permissions could hit sensitive API endpoints, like, say, transfer funds, and another decorator automatically logged every attempt to access that endpoint. All this happened before the actual transfer funds code even ran, keeping that core logic clean and focused.
That does sound incredibly clean. Keeps the business logic separate from the cross-cutting stuff like security. Okay, what about real-time features? Apps that need to push updates instantly.
Yeah, for anything needing real-time updates across multiple parts of the system, the observer pattern is fantastic.
Observer. So things are watching other things.
Kind of, yeah. The idea is you have a subject object, and multiple observer objects can subscribe to it. When the subject's state changes, like a stock price updates, or a new chat message arrives, or an order status changes, it automatically notifies all its observers.
So it pushes the change out instead of the observers constantly asking anything new.
Precisely. It decouples the thing generating the event from the things reacting to it. We saw an Indian logistics platform use this really well with Flask and Redis PubSub. When a delivery status updated, the observer pattern pushed that update live to the customer's app and the internal operations dashboard simultaneously. Super efficient for real-time tracking.
Okay, that covers real-time. One more big area, background tasks, things that need to happen, but not necessarily right now, like sending emails or generating reports.
Right. For asynchronous tasks, the command pattern is a really strong choice. It lets you encapsulate a request or a job as an object.
An object representing the task itself.
Exactly. This object contains everything needed to perform the action. You can then queue these command objects, pass them around, log them, maybe even undo them. It's great for stuff like sending bulk emails, generating big reports overnight, syncing data with external services. A marketing automation platform used this with Celery, a popular Python task queue. They wrapped email campaigns sending jobs as command objects. This allowed them to schedule and manage tens of thousands of campaigns smoothly, scaled incredibly well.
That makes sense for managing complex workflows.
One really important note here, though, especially with background tasks, security. These jobs often handle sensitive data or talk to external APIs. So building in robust security checks, proper authentication for API calls, handling failures gracefully, that's absolutely critical. Can't skimp on that.
That's a crucial reminder. Security first, always. Okay, we've gone through several key patterns. MVC, singleton, factory, decorator, observer, command. Quite a toolbox. But let's zoom out a bit. What's the actual impact on the code base? How does using these patterns change things day to day for a development team?
That's a great question. Let's try a sort of before and after comparison, drawing from what we see typically happens. Without patterns, code structure often ends up like, well, spaghetti, tangled, hard to follow. With patterns, it becomes much more modular, organized, and readable.
Readability is huge.
Definitely. Then scalability. The before app often starts to creak and break under heavy load. The after app, designed with patterns, is usually much easier to scale out horizontally by adding more servers.
Okay, what about teamwork?
Big difference there, too. Before, onboarding new developers is slow and painful, lots of hidden dependencies. After, Teams can often work on different modules in parallel because the boundaries are clearer. Much smoother collaboration.
And code reuse.
Before, lots of copy-pasting code snippets around. After, you start applying DRY principles. Don't repeat yourself because patterns encourage reusable components.
I'm testing. That's always a big one.
Oh, yeah. Before, tests are often brittle, hard to write. Maybe they rely on too many other parts working. After, because components are more isolated, writing focused unit tests becomes much, much easier. Testing is less painful, more reliable.
Those are some really tangible benefits. Modular code, easier scaling, better teamwork, less repetition, better tests. Sounds like a win all around.
It generally is, especially in the long run.
But I can imagine a small startup maybe thinking, this sounds like extra work up front when we need to move fast. Is there a risk of over-engineering early on, or do the benefits usually outweigh that initial effort?
That's the classic trade-off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Speed versus sustainability. And yeah, you can over-engineer. You don't need every pattern in every tiny script. But even picking just one or two relevant patterns early on, maybe MVC MTV for structure, perhaps factory if you anticipate variations, can save you so much pain later. It's about being strategic, not just applying patterns for the sake of it.
So finding the right balance. Maybe we can make this even clearer with those case studies you mentioned earlier, seeing how patterns solve specific problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look at that EdTech platform again. Remember their issues. Repetitive code for different quiz types, tricky payment stuff, complex role-based access control, making the app slow and tangled.
Right.
So their solution. They use the factory pattern to handle creating different quiz types dynamically. No more Eiffel's chains for quizzes. They use the decorator pattern extensively for securing routes based on user roles, student, teacher, admin. And they use the command pattern to push complex tasks like grading and result generation into background jobs.
And the outcome?
Pretty significant. They reported a 45% drop in duplicated code and found they could develop new features about 30% faster. That's a real impact on their velocity and maintainability.
Wow, 45% less duplication and 30% faster features. That's huge. Okay, what was the second case study?
The second one was a healthcare SaaS application built with Flask. They were facing serious scaling problems. The system kept crashing, especially around real-time appointment updates involving doctors, patients, and clinics. The code base just wasn't built to handle the load.
A common scaling nightmare. So what patterns did they use?
They brought in the observer pattern specifically to manage those real-time appointment notifications efficiently, decoupled the update source from all the things that needed to know about it. They also did some significant refactoring using the factory pattern to better handle the different workflows for doctors versus patients versus admin staff, made the logic much cleaner and easier to manage.
And the result for them?
They managed to successfully scale the platform to handle over 100,000 monthly active users. That's quite a jump, with much better stability and minimal downtime. It really showed how applying the right patterns directly addressed their bottleneck issues.
So it really feels like we've circled back to the main point. Using these Python design patterns thoughtfully isn't just about making code look nice. It's fundamentally about building applications that can actually survive and thrive in the real world as they grow.
Precisely. When you apply them strategically, these patterns solve concrete problems that will crop up as you get more users, add more features, and grow your development team. It's about investing a bit in smart design upfront to avoid potentially massive costs and time, money, and frustration dealing with technical debt later on. For frameworks like Django and Flask especially, knowing and using these patterns is pretty much essential for building something maintainable over the long haul.
Which leads us to a final thought, really a question for you, the listener, to take away from this deep dive. The next time you sit down to build a new feature, or maybe even start a whole new Python project, ask yourself this: am I just writing code right now, or am I consciously constructing a system that's built to scale? Something to really think about.